Hi, everyone. Welcome to episode 101. I'm Steve, in case you missed that fact. If you don't know me from my face, I'm just not John, according to the comments. I'm joined by Ash, Derek, and Brandon. We have a full four-person crew for GVG Cast for the first time in forever. It's been a while. I haven't hosted in a while, and I haven't been on the show in a while, and I haven't had a four-person crew in a while. It feels like a good day to bring it back. Let's just go down the list. How are you all doing today? It's been a minute since we all got together for a chat like this.
I'm excited. I'm glad we're all here. It's as you said, Steve, it's been quite a while since we've had a full four-person GVG cast. We tried really hard to make it happen for the big episode 100. Didn't quite happen, but that's why they call it the Wonderful 101, right? Because episode 101 is going to be even better.
Technically, if we want to, I mean, I was ready to declare that last episode a lost episode, but then it was, you know, people were like, it works as 100. It's like, all right.
And we had so much love and support in the chat. We had like a golden Kappa hype train thing going on, like level 5 or something. It was wild.
So way more kind than I deserved.
we couldn't leave that, you know, all that love on the table and not have that be number 100 after all that.
Yeah, I don't even know what that means. What is a golden Kappa?
We don't even know it. It's just some random thing that can pop up.
It's some random thing that just hits, like, completely, hits channels completely at random. And we were getting a hype train from all the subs we were getting, and it turned into a golden Kappa hype train. So,
hey, cool. I appreciate all.
I streamed every single day in April for to make up for everybody that was so kind during my subathon and back in March, and didn't have it happen once. So, I don't know how it works.
It's so strange.
Well, I'm glad that that happened. I'm sad that I missed episode 100, of course, but I'm glad that I'm here. Another infrequent face to the podcast, we have Brandon.
Hi.
Brandon, what brings you to Twitch this evening?
My wife and daughter aren't here, so here I am.
They left me.
That's how it goes.
Yeah, this episode is brought to you by DayQuil, apparently. Three out of the four of us are sick. Somehow Derek is the only one that isn't suffering from something.
I have the most kids in the house, yet somehow I'm not sick. I don't understand it.
I've got no kids. It's, you know how much it cosmically sucks when your kids are like at their other parents' house and that's when you get sick?
Oh, no. Oh God, I did.
Well, my one free moment and I don't feel well.
To be fair, taking care of a kid when you're sick as well is like rough.
That's true. That's its own special kind of hell. But I try to pack like my things that I feel I can't do with kids, you know, like cleaning the house, doing the laundry, picking everything up for when they're not here, because it's like chopping a waterfall when they are here, right? Like you're just like, oh, cool, I picked this up and there's a new thing that you did something gross to. I'm learning as my kids approach teenage years, and obviously Brandon, you're a ways off, and Derek, you've got a solid 6 or 7 years before you have to think about this. But as my oldest transitions into that preteen state of being, she's just becoming disgusting. It's like
we have Sydney, so you know.
Oh, that's Amy's true. Daughter. You do. Yeah, have, she's older than mine, isn't she?
Yeah, she's getting ready to go into sixth grade next year, and she's adorable. She's not gotten. I don't think she is. Yours in middle school or not? I don't know.
Mine is going into sixth grade next year, so
they're about the same age. Yeah. I wouldn't call her disgusting in that way.
Well, I'm just raising.
Not that I've noticed in any major difference that she's changed or anything like that. I will say though. Hormones are hitting because she is emotional.
Oh my God. This is just a little, and I promise we'll talk about video games today. but I took my oldest
preview for Brandon
and she was, we were there for 3 hours to buy one outfit. And she just kept iterating through all these different clothes. And there was like the spates of like the inappropriate ones where I'm like, you can't dress like that. Like, I'm your dad. I'm not going to let you do that. And then she just broke down and started crying. And I was like, I don't know what to do. And she was like, and she looked at me and she's like, I just really want a Hello Kitty shirt, but I'm too old. And I looked at her. I'm like, I'm your 41-year-old dad. And I'm literally wearing a Mario Kart t-shirt right now. Like, wear what you want.
Like, I'd wear
put the Hello Kitty shirt on.
Hell yeah, I'd wear a Hello Kitty shirt myself.
Yeah, exactly.
Never too old for Hello Kitty.
I was like, don't let anyone judge you. I don't let anyone judge me.
I hate that kids feel pressured that they can't like the things that they like around this age.
I have a huge Snorlax in my bedroom. Like, just, it's fine. Mm-hmm. You'll survive.
this reminds me that it's a flavor of this story, but that you've actually been there with me, Steve. There's a CVS across the street from where I live.
I have.
And I was there a few months ago wearing this very shirt. It's a very pink shirt, if you can't tell. I happen to like the color pink. It's a great, great color. So I was wearing it, and the guy's like, who's helping me, that the register, he's like, wow, it's a really interesting shirt. I'm like, oh, thanks. Yeah, you know, it's I like pink. He's like, oh, are you into that woke shit? Is that from Barbie? And I'm like,
pink?
I just wanted to wear a pink shirt, man. I mean, yes, I guess, yes, I'm into that woke shit, sure. But I'm not wearing it because of that. I just like pink, dude. Come on.
Good Lord.
You're comfortable with your masculinity. How dare you?
I just like pink. Come on. So last week, as you all know, I was here doing a community stream for a Mario Kart 8 Deluxe tournament because we didn't have GVG cast, and I had a great time. I think we all had a great time. I had a lot of energy, feeling great going into Friday night after I ended the stream. Saturday morning, I woke up feeling like crap, and turns out I had COVID. Ooh. I have COVID.
You got into that woke shit. You woke up.
I know.
Up
that's what I did. Exactly. And it's the weirdest thing. Like, I don't know where I could have gotten it. I've only been to the grocery store recently, so it must have been there. But, like, literally, I was feeling great on Friday night, and I woke up feeling like I had moderate cold symptoms on Saturday morning. And I was like, well, I guess I should test. I haven't had COVID in a long time. I guess I should test. Suddenly, I have COVID. So I'm feeling much better now, but I'm still testing positive. So it's one of those things where the symptoms went through me fast. And you can probably hear it in my voice a little bit as I'm still a little bit raspy. But I feel fine, but I'm still testing positive. And I'm like, come on, man. Just let me go do things again.
Yeah, but good on you for not.
Oh, of course. Yeah. No. Of course. I was actually supposed to go to a bachelor party for my friend this week in Arizona. And I feel terrible because I'm one of his groomsmen. So they're we got an Airbnb. They're all partying, drinking, whatever. And I had to text him last night, be like, dude, I pushed it as far as I could, but I'm still testing positive. And even if I feel fine, I'm just not going to put you guys at risk. And I'm also not going to put innocent people on, you know, my flight at risk. I can't. I'm so sorry. I will make it up to you when you get back. I'll take you out for drinks, but I just can't take the risk.
I got to ask, as somebody who lived in Arizona, why?
You know what? So I haven't had the chance to ask him that. And I'm going to ask him that too, because he and I both live here in LA. So yeah, I was
with you until he said flight back. And I'm like, so wait, he went there for that? Like,
what? Yeah. What? I don't quite know why.
It is weird.
What is in Arizona? There's
nothing. That's the thing. Just heat. I was checking the weather today, and it's like 95 out. And I'm like, no, God. Thank you. So I feel bad that I wasn't able to be there, but I don't feel bad that I'm not in that heat because I would not enjoy that.
You're not missing anything. Like, Arizona is like LA light. Like, it's just LA without the good stuff.
I mean, I went to a semester of college at Arizona State, and it wasn't anything special. So I don't know what's in Arizona. It's maybe he just wanted to go somewhere, but if not, then why not just Vegas?
Living where I live now.
Go to Reno.
The only thing I would say that I miss about Arizona is the food, but you have all of that and better versions of it in LA. So it just doesn't make sense for me. But this is a video game podcast. you might be confused.
Is it? No.
At 100, no, we pivoted.
None of us play video games. What are you talking about?
Sometimes it feels like we don't. So I want to go around because I like to take our temperature. What are we all playing? I'm going to start with you, Ash. What have you been playing?
Oh, I think you know exactly what I've been playing. And I honestly don't. Oh, it's FF7 Rebirth.
Baby. Oh, okay.
I'm still got Rebirth Tunnel Vision, although I am nearing the end. I think I'm like a couple of extended gameplay sessions away from finishing. I just hit chapter 13. So I'm pretty close, I think, based on where I understand the game ends and such. So of course I won't get into spoilers. Oh, there's that COVID voice again. I won't get into spoilers, but yes, excuse me, FF7 Rebirth. And I've also been playing various indie demos like Anton Blast, Europa, Penny's Big Breakaway. I'm going to try Pepper Grinder tonight. So
Pepper Grinder's awesome.
Yeah. I can't wait to try that. I'm sad to say though, that I kind of bounced off the Penny demo. It didn't do much for me.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Interesting. I haven't played it yet.
I haven't tried it. Yeah.
I bought it the day it came out and I was like, I'm going to play this. It's just been sitting there. And I know Derek and I did a similar thing with Mega Man Battle Network collection this week.
Oh,
like we yeah. both bought it. I bought physical, he got digital, and we both know we're not going to play it.
Oh no. Oh no. I'm playing it.
Oh, you are with your streams. Yeah.
So I don't think you know about this, Steve.
I don't.
So a long time ago on an older subathon, one of my ultimate goal was unlocking a Mega Man marathon in the same way that I did Ooh. Castlevania. So every single Mega Man game, that is 64 in total.
Hell yeah.
Holy cow.
I'll watch the Legends runs for sure, at least.
Oh yeah. So basically once I need to finish up. So right now my big goal is to try to finish up Final Fantasy 14 Endwalker before Dawn Trail comes out to be content current with friends for the first time ever. It's just like finally having that is really nice. So a lot of my streams are going to be that, but as soon as it's done, I'm immediately launching into Mega Man and going through all of those. Nice. And for all those. And apparently there might be one more. I need to see if I can find a way to one, run it. And two, more importantly, have a translation for it, because it turns out there's a Taiwanese Mega Man game called Mega Man Strategy.
I think I've heard of that actually. Yeah.
It's like, if I can find a way to get that to work, why not add it to it? I have the weird ones on there. That was the fun of Castlevania. But yeah, in release order too. So I'm not doing the whole thing where it's all the classic games, then the next one, all the X games, so forth. It is the release year, the release date. So in order they came out. So my literal third game of this marathon is Mega Man DOS.
Oh wow!
Amazing. Oh boy!
Mega Man DOS. No. I gotta tune in for that, and I want to tune in for X6 and X7 and maybe Battle Network 4 because I wanna see you suffer, nice. My friend. I want to see some mega suffering. But those are definitely the worst Mega Man games, and I'm just more because I had to suffer through them myself. I'm more curious as to how you'll deal with them.
I mean, I'm specifically asking the chat because I'm not as familiar with Mega Man as you, and I know some weaknesses here and there for some of the games, but I'm going on weakness blind. I'm asking for no help regarding that, so I get that real experience of figuring out all the boss weaknesses.
That'll be fun.
Good luck.
Yeah, seriously. A few of them in particular.
Hey, I will never forget that when I started the Castlevania Marathon, it wasn't even supposed to be as deep of a marathon as it turned out to be. But I start with the original Castlevania. It took me, I believe, 2.5 hours to reach Dracula, another 2.5 hours to beat Dracula. It took me long to figure out his damn pattern. Never had that much trouble again with him, though. So once you had it down, you were set for Dracula for life.
I'll never forget that marathon stream we did where we were racing Bloodlines and how I had to learn the final boss on the fly, and you almost caught up. You almost came up back and beat me at the very end because it took me so long to get those three fights in a row down.
Yeah,
so hard.
Once you know a Drac fight, you know most of his tricks. It's just learning the new stuff they pop in.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Nice. I'm not sure. I don't think I have X-Dive offline at the moment. I might add that in. Depends if there's enough interest, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be interesting to see that game. But Brandon, what have you been playing, my friend? I know you've been busy on daddy duty.
I have been. It was April was a rough month for me. Wife was working just about every day. I think she had 2 days off the whole time, all of April. So it was just me and Ella. So I have gotten to play some games. I'm drinking the Paper Mario juice pretty hard right now. I am in the mood for Paper Mario the Thousand Year Door. So I just played through Paper Mario 64. I played a modded version of the game. You're going to hear me talk about that in one of our upcoming videos that I'm doing with Daniel. So I'm not going to talk about it here, but I've moved on from Paper Mario and I have found myself playing Mario and Luigi Superstar Saga, but the remake, because I've never tried it before.
Oh,
nice.
Are you actually going to play through the extra mode? Or are you going to just avoid that?
I touched the extra mode in Bowser's Inside Story remake, and it was super boring. So I'm not going to do that at all.
That's the better version.
Nope, not touching it.
Nice. Yeah, so I know you've been playing one other game, Brandon, because you wounded me. I've been playing one game. I've been playing one game and one game only, and that is Helldivers. Same for February, same for March. I played Helldivers, baby. And I do have, I've been working on a video for that. So I recently resurrected my Vita. I got Helldivers 1. And I've been also playing that. Next week, I have one of my bigger videos in a long time, going deep into Helldivers, which it, just amazing timing, by the way. Like, once I get ready to drop a video, you know, they make a decision that just infuriates a huge portion of their player base. And I'm sure the comments are going to go great for me on this video.
Oh, totally.
might get more views out of it because of that.
Maybe.
Stay positive. Get
that hate watching. Yes. From my understanding, the PSN integration on PC was always supposed to happen, but it was delayed because of the sheer popularity of the game.
Yeah, so this is an interesting thing, and I've learned better than to put my thumb on the scales just yet, but here's what I know factually. The game, once it was available for pre-order, it was already mentioned that it would require a PSN account to play. Apparently, if you had not previously linked your Steam and PSN accounts, it would pop up a warning the first time you launch the game and telling you, you know, you need to link a PSN account. However, it is, you know, they let you skip it because they were having so many server problems. Now that they've ironed out the server problems, they're reinstituting they're removing the ability to skip that warning, essentially.
Ugh, that sucks.
And people are big mad about this. They're in their feelings about it. And in some cases, I understand it because some people are saying, you know, oh, you sold the game in countries where PSN is unavailable. What do we do? That's a fair hit. Like, that's a good question.
That's a big deal.
And that's an answer they should have had before they announced this. And people are saying, why are you launching this now without cross progression? Even though you've said you're working on cross progression, that would have been a great way to couch this announcement. Like, hey, we got you your cross progression, but you do have to have a PSN account for obvious reasons. I think those would have been better ways to do it. I think that, you know, it's just a nasty, sticky situation, but it is true that it was there from day one. And I think some folks didn't acknowledge that and are now mad. I think that, you know, it's just, I don't want to get in the middle of it. That's for sure.
We've seen Sony reverse decisions in the past, such as shutting down the PSN or the PlayStation Store on PS3. So if there's enough backlash to this, they might delay it further in order to save face because it is getting review bombed and people are not happy. And Sony will either choose bulldoze ahead and ignore it, or they'll reverse course and try to smooth it out. But considering this is one of their, like, from all I can tell, this is a big hit for Sony.
Yeah, it's a weird situation we're in because Helldivers 2 is absolutely massive. Like, it is. You know, it's come out of nowhere to really gain a lot of popularity with a lot of people this year. And the interesting thing about this whole controversy is that we've got a situation where, yeah, it was communicated, but now, you know, it was kind of, people thought it wasn't going to happen. You're right, though, that Sony does take on board this type of feedback, and they are known to change course. But we also know that Ghost of Tsushima is coming to PC very soon, and it's introducing like a new PlayStation PC overlay experience that lets you talk with your PlayStation friends from your computer. And I have this feeling that, unfortunately, like, Helldivers 2 is kind of collateral damage to this, where they're going to eventually roll this out across all their existing PC games, and it will be the standard going forward for all their new ones. They picked possibly the worst way to do this, because, you know, people that, you know, play Microsoft games on PlayStation or Switch or, you know, even PC have to sign into Xbox to play them, and Microsoft just seemingly handled that better because people aren't upset about it. So it'll be interesting to see what they do here. I personally hope, this is going to sound weird and I know somebody's going to get mad at me, but I can't say this any other way. I hope that they continue with this, because I don't want to lose the possibility of cross progression in Helldivers 2. I want to be able to use my Helldiver on PC, on my Steam Deck, and on my PS5, and not have to have different game instances for those different platforms. And I have a feeling that if they successfully argue their way out of PSN support for this game, that, you know, cross progression is the casualty of that. We lose that. Right. Because they're going to say, well, you don't want the PSN account, so how are you going to link your save? Too bad. You know,
Sony, I didn't realize this, but according to Cutie Caitlin, it's the seventh best-selling Sony game ever. I had no idea it was that huge.
I mean, that's one of the things that I touch on it in my video, but no game gives you a sense of its scale better than Helldivers does. You can go to a planet and they'll say, there are, you know, 58,000 other players playing on this planet right now. And I'm like, that's a pretty good flex. Like when you log in and you're like, oh, I'm literally playing with a million other people right now. I'm like, that's a smart move.
It's still on my list to check out with you, man. I haven't forgotten. I just, you know, I don't want anything to pull me away from Rebirth because I just
absolutely.
But once I'm done with Rebirth, that's one of the games I plan to check out. I don't know if it'll be via Steam or PlayStation, though, because I'd rather enjoy not having a PlayStation Plus subscription because the only games I play online on PlayStation don't require that. So I don't know if I want to spring for a PS Plus subscription just to play Helldivers. So I might actually get it on Steam.
It works fine. One of my friends plays on Steam and we play together all the time. So, it's definitely worth it. But let's talk about what's happening in the world of gaming this week. We've had a few things that were, you know, noteworthy. I can't speak today. I'm going to blame the cold. But anyway, first up, we have the reveal, kind of the official like gameplay reveal of Akuma for Street Fighter VI. And I saw this at the top of the dock and I was like, there's no way I'm ignoring this one.
I knew you wanted to talk about it. I knew it. Yeah.
Yeah. So I saw this and I have to say, I was kind of after how dirty they did Akuma in Street Fighter V, I was a little worried about what they'd do to my boy in six. And this gameplay trailer slaps. Like he looks so good. I've been maining Ryu this whole time, but I may actually switch. He looks just interesting enough. They've given him a lot of combo opportunities. Have any of you looked at the trailer for Akuma yet?
I've watched the trailer, but I've not gone back to Street Fighter in a while. I want to, but I just haven't had the time. I didn't get a chance to mention it, but it's been 3 weeks since I've been able to touch Seven Rebirth. So yeah, Street Fighter stands no chance. But I've at least watched the trailer, and yeah, Akuma looks pretty sick.
Yeah, they've given him a lot of options. He has like a super air fireball, a super ground fireball. Obviously, the raging demon in this game looks so cool. Mm. Oh my god!
I love how you get to see what happens during it now. Like you get kind of a sneak peek at what actually is happening during the blackouts in other games. It's so cool.
I can see Brandon here just biting his tongue. I'm assuming Brandon that you have not.
I'm watching the trailer.
Oh okay.
Right now,
I figured that was what he was doing.
He's focused. Like if I were Brandon, I'd be sweating for the next story on the dock. But it's a really good rendition of Akuma, and I like the way that halfway through they switch to the classic costume, so you can see, because I still prefer classic Akuma. This kind of hair,
that wild mane,
wild lion's mane thing. I'm not a fan. I'll be honest.
Just
not a big fan of that. I like the more classic Akuma appearance. I think they could have done him gray like he was. You know, he had the gray streak in Street Fighter III. They could have done something like that. But this whole big bushy beard doesn't sit well with me. It's not a design that I really like. The rest of the costume I'm cool with, like kind of the more tattered, you know, fur outfit.
That's so funny that if you go by the timeline of Street Fighter, he had the crazy mane for Street Fighter V. Then he went back to classic with just the gray for Street Fighter 3. And then for that, I was like, screw it. It's gone all gray. So just back to the main.
Yep. Yeah.
Akuma's been through a lot of stylistic choices.
I recently revisited Street Fighter 6. I mean, I would love to play it more just because it's a great game and I just wish I had more time to play it. But I have revisited for each new character, you know, release. And Ed is actually really fun to play. I didn't give a damn about Ed in Street Fighter 5. And I was like, he's a season one character, and I guess okay. He's actually really freaking cool here. He's a lot of fun in 6.
Ed is a very cool character, and it's surprising. Yeah. It's surprising that they made him as good as he is, but I really like the range of moves he has. I had to give up playing ranked. I was getting too stressed out playing it.
Oh yeah.
So now I just do I just do casuals. But I've managed to play a few master players and pull off a win or two here and there, and I'm very surprised. I'm like,
that's awesome.
But it needles me, right? I'm like, oh man, if I can beat a master rank, I could go back in and get diamond 2 or diamond 3. And I'm like, don't do it. It's not worth the frustration.
That actually reminds me, since you do play Ryu, Steve, is that another big thing that seems to be coming with Akuma is probably the first major update to how the game plays and like
character
balancing and whatnot. And I heard one of them, I'm not too familiar with Ryu, but you know how you could store some ability of his?
Yeah, the Denshin Hadouken,
would always come out the next hit. Now it's a specific input that you do to unleash it, so you can store it for whenever you want.
Oh, that is gonna mess with people bad. That'll be interesting. Because, it does kind of suck when Ryu does that. You know that his next Hadouken is going to come faster and do more hits. So you can prep for it. But if you can mix it up like that, that'll be really interesting. I think Ryu needs a bit of a buff. I personally think, and maybe this is just me, like what do you call it? It's not his focus attack. That's just the old Street Fighter in me wanting to come out.
Oh, the drive impact?
Yes, thank you. Drive impact. I feel like his is one of the slowest in the game. Like, it's just harder to counter. Like, I get countered by people all day with other characters on that. But, I think it'll be interesting to see a balance patch come out. I'll probably switch to Akuma for a bit and get a feel for him and then go back to Ryu and see what's new. But, I'm excited to play it. But I know there's a game that we're, I think all of us on this panel in particular are very excited to check out. And of course, that is Dragon Ball Sparking Zero. And we got a new character trailer for that this week as well, which was what, Master and Student themed?
Master and Apprentice.
Master and Apprentice. And Brandon, I'm gonna throw it to you because I don't know who's the biggest Dragon Ball fan on this panel. I'm the oldest, but I don't know who's the biggest. Because, there's an argument for each one of us here.
Dragon Ball has been my favorite show ever since I was a little boy.
I'm going to go with Brandon then.
Definitely.
But
because I love it, but I wouldn't call it my favorite show.
Dragon Ball has been with me my entire life. The Budokai Tenkaichi games, spent a lot of time playing, especially 3 on Wii. So the fact that this series is coming back with a new game after 17 years is literally melting my brain. This was never supposed to happen, but it's happening, and I'm so flippin' hyped.
It looks so pretty.
It's so nice looking. It's like they took all of that stuff that they learned from watching Arxis do Dragon Ball FighterZ, and they're applying that to the visuals for this game. Oh my god.
So I will definitely out myself as a pretty casual Dragon Ball fan. Like I think it's great, but I'm not nearly as into it as the rest of you three. But I'm still looking at this thinking this looks amazing. It looks really cool. But as someone who's relatively on the outside of this, would it be fair to say that I'm kind of getting a sense that like Tenkaichi fans are having their Smash Ultimate moment with this game? Is that kind of what's going on here?
Oh yeah.
100%.
Yeah, that's basically the core idea behind that. It's just that's all kind of what the I characters.
Because I'm looking at the end of the trailer right now with the character grid, and like, I don't even know how many spots there are, but there's still less than half of them filled. Like we
it's over like 160.
That's nuts, yeah. Man. Yeah, that's I love it. That's I can't wait to see more of this. It looks great.
Yeah,
and
go ahead, Brandon.
And the new characters they showed off this time are really sick too. It was weird that they announced full power Master Roshi before just regular ass Master Roshi.
I know. I thought we weren't going to get regular ass Master Roshi, but nope, there he is.
He's here. And we got an alternate costume for Videl with her pigtails, the superior design. Don't at me, bro.
I'm just happy she's here.
Yes. And a character I'm really excited about is Whis, because I don't think Whis gets enough love.
Whis is awesome, but you don't get to fight as him much.
It's interesting. Whis was in Xenoverse 2, but that's the only game I think Whis is playable in outside of, outside of like mobile games and stuff like that. But,
right.
It is the thing that really gets to me with this and is that the production value for Sparking Zero is way higher than anything we've ever had. I would say it rivals Kakarot in terms of like the quality of animation and stuff. But you've got 160 freaking characters here to,
wild.
And just, every time I look back at the reveal trailer I see how well they nailed Goku going Super Saiyan Blue from the Broly movie. I'm like, I can't wait to play this damn game.
It's like, crazy that so many characters.
The game was, is this the first time we've had legit one-armed future Gohan?
Yep.
And Tenkaichi, yes.
Wow.
Because every other time we've had Future go on, either they've given him both hands or they've just made him sort of droop his one arm and it's still there.
There was one game where they gave him a shadow arm. Like, they just textured it completely black. They're like, it's not there.
I can think of one game where he's playable without one of his arms, and his Dragon Ball Z sagas of all games.
American made. That makes sense.
Oh, that game is garbage, and I love it for that reason. But yeah, he's got one arm, and it's cool that that's being reflected in his moveset, because he's had two arms in the other Tenkaichi games, and he would like lean into using one arm. It always looks so weird because he's got two.
Yeah.
I'm super hyped for this game. Oh, go ahead.
Oh no, it just looks amazing, and this reminds me that I really need to cut out some time to watch the modern Dragon Ball movies, because I'm really one of those guys. Unfortunately, I watched most of DBZ, and that's about it. I never watched much of the original. Never watched GT. Haven't seen any of the movies, and I've seen clips of the new movies, and they're gorgeous. And it reminds me that I need to like get into modern Dragon Ball more.
Broly will melt your face off.
Yeah, that's what you told me. Yeah, I really need
And Superhero is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And honestly, the Battle of Gods is just a nice celebration.
Yeah.
Resurrection F is okay.
Definitely the weakest of the set.
Okay. Yeah, it's just a good reminder that I need to get into modern Dragon Ball, because the animation's so cool and looks so amazing.
And I see Soulcaster in our chat saying you can ignore GT, which canonically, yes, you absolutely can. However, I will say I want some GT-ass characters in this game. I mean, they have to be there. I mean,
I'll be mad if there aren't.
At the very least, we're going to get Super Saiyan 4.
Please. Yeah.
Super Saiyan 4. I want Vegeta baby, but I want like all of the forms of Vegeta baby, like not the I don't know.
They've already announced some of the Ozaru characters, right? Yeah, then Ozaru baby Vegeta is definitely gonna be there.
Exactly. I mean, Tenkaichi 3 had every form of baby Vegeta, and they're calling this a true sequel to that game, so I'm expecting everything in the kitchen sink, if not at launch, as DLC.
I would buy DLC for this game all day long.
The problem is, do they go beyond the typical picks for GT? Like, it's usually, you know, your Super Saiyan 4s, your SS4 Gogeta, your babies, your Omega Shenrons. Maybe you'll get Ice and, what is it?
Nova.
Nova.
Yeah.
And that's about it. Like, maybe sometimes you'll get Super 17. But nobody likes Super 17.
The thing is, if I had to write down 160 Dragon Ball characters, I don't know that I could get there without including all of the GT like villains, right? I think there are ones we definitely won't get, like God, I can't even remember his name, but the pre Super Saiyan 4 villains, right? Like the ones that Goku Kid Goku fought.
Oh, General Rild,
yeah. I was like, I don't know that we'll get those.
I think Rild is pretty much the only one of consequence, unless you want to count it as robot flunkies that can that fight a little bit.
The Para Para brothers.
Yeah.
You know what? I'd be down for the Para Para brothers being fighters.
where I'm really curious, though, is if we're going to get manga-only characters. Like characters. No. Because traditionally, we don't get those in games. Like, we've never gotten manga-only characters in games, but I mean, there's a lot of Dragon Ball that has happened that hasn't been animated, right? Like the Moro arc, the Granola arc. I want those. I want Moro. I want Granola. I want Black Frieza. I want those characters playable in this game. And I just
give me Saiyaman X1 and X2 as please.
I would be shocked if they get in there.
Those are manga only shit. Like,
yeah, they are manga only.
Yeah, I see. I just don't see I wonder what it's going to be like, because I don't think the games have ever superseded the anime. And I wonder if that's like a licensing thing, or
I don't believe they have. There might be some internal do not do list, but like Naruto has done this before. So it's not out of the question.
Well, I'm very curious too, because, you know, not to sound too callous about it, but now that Toriyama has passed away, and there's been no real official statement on what happens to Dragon Ball now. Obviously, Dragon Ball is co-owned by Bird Studio and Shueisha. Maybe they could just be like, well, you know, rules are different now. We have different people in charge of the franchise. I don't think, to be clear, I don't think Toriyama is the reason that we didn't have manga characters in Dragon Ball stuff.
Definitely
I just think that with a change of the a shakeup, that there may be a possibility that some policies surrounding the series change. And I'm going to be honest, I was a bit disappointed in this. If you haven't played Sandland, it's a really good game, like surprisingly
good. That's the other demo I need to try. Okay, yeah.
I picked it up, and I expected not to like it. But I picked it up, given recent events. I really wanted to have the game, and I started playing it, and I love it. It's fantastic. And I haven't beat the game, so I can't say that there isn't anything, but I was a little disappointed that there wasn't, like, a tribute to Toriyama right up front. Right when you start the game. I'm hoping Bandai Namco, if you're listening, do that, like, right at the start. I don't care if it's really right at the credits. Just put it in there. Don't save it for the end. Put it right at the start of the game. I'm hopeful that there's, like, a tribute to Toriyama at the end of Sandland. I'm pretty sure there will be, but for Dragon Ball, put it right at the front.
I quickly also, I've been saying this on Twitter, please put Beelzebub and Sparking Zero.
I was just about to say, you know what would be fun? Put Beelzebub and Sparking Zero, because the one Sandland trailer seemed to indicate, like, him appearing in another world that is grassy and looks a lot like those battlegrounds that Dragon Ball fights take place in. So if he ended up in, like, Dragon Ball world as, like, a post-game thing, that'd be cool. So put him in Sparking Zero. Also, because it's not manga only, I think it might be a chance. Also be cool promotional material for it. Maybe have Goku and Vegeta from the upcoming anime.
Ooh, Daima.
Daima. Have Daima, Goku, and Vegeta. Why not?
That'd be cool. I'd be down for that. I'm interested to see what Daima ends up being. But yeah, Goku and Vegeta, like, so, Kid Goku, Kid Vegeta, that'd be rad.
Beelzebub is a Sandland character, right? Not a Dragon Ball character?
Yeah, he's the main character of Sandland.
Well, then if we're going to do that, then let's just get Chrono and Magus and everybody. Chrono Trigger in this game, too.
No, all right, we're talking his manga. Get Luminary. So. Really, we should get a Raleigh if you're going that
way. She's in Tenkaichi 3.
Yeah, I was going to say, she's in there. She canonically crossed over in the original Dragon Ball. So
that is true.
And
again in Super.
To be there. Yep. Well, the question about Dragon Ball Super canon is a long and winding one.
But I want to live in the world where she beat up Vegeta and won.
Right.
But he acknowledges, like, I lost because she's a gag character.
That's so funny.
Really quickly, just to address 413 Dreamer in chat saying, just got a good look at us when switching from phone to tablet. And you said, I look so miserable, feel better. I didn't mean to look miserable. Actually, even though I have COVID, I do in fact feel fine. My symptoms, other than my voice being hoarse, are gone. So I didn't mean to look miserable. I apologize. I'm actually feeling fine. So
don't worry. People tell me I look miserable all the time. It's just life.
But you're gorgeous, boo.
I do want to shout out 413 Dreamer because I didn't know if you watch us live, but thank you, because I'm not going to mention where you live, but I was looking for a specific Nintendo related merchandise item, and they just went out of their way to get that for me and ship it to me. So thank you. Wow. I really appreciate that. That was really cool. I literally just put a post out on Twitter asking if somebody could help me find something in a specific geographic location, and they stepped up and just helped me out. So I really appreciate that. That was super cool of you. And thank you for that. But
speaking of that, Steve, sorry, really quick to interject. I brought this in here for this exact purpose. I want to thank you live on camera during the show for shipping me my Sora amiibo, because I didn't get one. Yeah, nice. I wasn't able to get one. I checked 5 minutes after they went on sale. I had already missed pre-orders, and you snagged me one. So thank you. Nice. And I also have to apologize, because between my wife's injury and me getting COVID, I have not yet shipped out your Master Sword pin from PAX, but no, I have worries. It, and I'm going to send it to you. I promise. As soon as I'm COVID negative, it's going in the mail. I swear.
Oh, that's rad. Thank you so much. Yeah, I appreciate that. I shipped that to you, and I was like, oh, shit, I should follow up with Ash and make sure he actually got it.
Nope, it's here.
I didn't open mine, so I was like, just in case it didn't get there, I'll just ship Ash mine.
Oh, all good. The boy is safe here right next to me. It's all good. Yep.
All right, so we're coming to the bottom of the hour here. So I want to shift gears. As you know, our Patreon producers and above get to suggest topics for us to discuss here on GVGcast each and every week. Each of us here at the panel chooses a topic, and we read that off, and then all of us answer. I'm going to go in backwards order based on how you're viewing us on your screen. So, Derek, why don't you hit us with your topic for this week?
Sure. My topic this week comes from Hendrix Trog saying, "Hi, GVG. There's often a discussion about video games we want to see a sequel to or follow up for, but is there a game or series you really enjoyed that you would prefer to be left alone?" And I thought that was interesting because, like, you don't often think about that where you get that one and you're like, no, done. No more. I'm completely satisfied with this. You just don't think about that too much. So it was a nice thought exercise for me. And I came to the conclusion that pretty much every Vanillaware game, I'm glad they changed. Ooh. They go from game to game, different, change it up constantly. Cause I love Odin Sphere. What I want to see was sequel to Odin Sphere. I mean, it'd be cool, mm-hmm. but I'm so satisfied with how that game ends. No, I don't need it. I'm completely satisfied. Same for Muramasa. Same for, I've heard amazing things about 13 Sentinels and, of course, Unicorn Overlord. Although Unicorn Overlord might lend itself well to a sequel. I don't know how that one does or anything like that. But it just seems like, you know, it's nice one and done so they can just constantly change it up and not get stuck in, like, all right, time for sequel after sequel after sequel.
That's fair. That's a tough one. It's so true because you often do think about games you want to see more of, but not less of, or not even for bad reason, just because it's so unique and you've had your fill. I'm having trouble coming up with anything right now other than, and it's hard for me to say this because I simultaneously do want a sequel, but I also kind of don't, and that's Hi-Fi Rush because it is so singular and it is so special that I feel like it does what it set out to do so incredibly well that I feel like a sequel, as much as I want to see more of those characters in that world, might dilute what is otherwise such a fresh, unique, excellent concept. And so I feel like if they made sequels, maybe it wouldn't be quite as special and stand out the way it does, you know? But it's hard because I still also want a sequel because I love that game so much. So,
right.
Yeah.
For me, the games that come to mind are mostly games, mostly like independent games that have like a really wild idea that have, you know, that has not been tried before, like The Outer Wilds or Return of the Obra Dinn. Those experiences stayed with me so much after I beat them that, like, anything that tries to do what those games did is just not going to exceed the experience I had the first time I played them. And it's hard too, because like something like Outer Wilds and Return to the Obra Dinn are games I can never play again because they are games that are solely based on what you know. And once you know, that's it. You can't play that game again.
Yeah. In the same vein as Professor Layton, but Layton, you were able to get more puzzles and the next adventure sort of thing, but you can't, it's hard to do that again with stuff like Outer Wilds, just because it is so, like, how do you do that again? Really?
Yeah, once you know, yeah, you know, and it's over.
You know what? I've got a better one, I think. I'm glad that they never, better one than the one I said, not yours, Brandon.
Yeah, you're sucked, Brandon.
I know, you're sucked. I'm glad they never went back and made a sequel to Silent Hill 3. And by that, I mean, if you're into Silent Hill, you know that Silent Hill 1 and Silent Hill 3 are two parts of a story. And Silent Hill 3 closes the loop on that story perfectly. And I'm glad they never tried to follow up on that particular story again. Like, it's fine. It exists exactly as it should. And they don't need to go make another sequel in that particular story for Silent Hill. And I'm glad we never got more of that.
Yeah, that's fair. I turned around because I was rooting around for my example. It's back here somewhere, but I didn't want to get out of my chair. For me, it is Electroplankton. And I know that's just a weird one to call out, but I really, you know, it kind of ties into what Brandon was saying, those kind of indie feeling experimental games. Like, it does, you know, it's a cool exploration of a concept, but it doesn't make sense to go back to the well on that. And I love those types of games, and they're really the only types of games that I can't justify a sequel to, because I think you create this singular experience and it somehow becomes cheapened if that experience is duplicated. Whereas with most games that I really like, yeah, I just want more, right? Like, give me, if I really like this game, give me more of it. But when the appeal of the game is the nature of the experience itself, I think that you just, you know, you should just have the control to cut it off and say, that was a really cool thing we did. Let's move on to a new concept and do something else.
The only way you can wow me again is by doing that as something else with something else.
Exactly. Right. That you can only replicate that experience by delivering that same sense of uniqueness. So yeah, for me, Electroplankton, like when I think of all the games I've played across Nintendo platforms, that's probably the most unique one. And I remember just booting it up and being like, yep, this is really weird. I like it. It's really weird, but I like it. And then just being like, okay, then I don't need another one of these ever. It's cool by itself.
You know, Disney Duncan in our chat brought up a really great point. It seems so obvious in hindsight, but I didn't even think of it. They said they don't need a Breath of the Wild 3. Me neither. I'm good after Tears of the Kingdom. Loved them both, but I'm done with that version of Hyrule personally. Like, I'm ready. We can keep the same Link and Zelda. That's fine, but I want to explore somewhere new for the next game.
Ooh, I disagree with that. I mean, really? I don't want to go too into the weeds. I don't disagree with not wanting a third installment, but I don't want anything that uses that Link and Zelda ever again. I think their story's done.
And that's like, fine, too. I agree. Yeah.
You know, I want a new take on Zelda. Maybe not completely mechanically new, but I want them to, you know, as they did with, you know, from Ocarina to Twilight Princess. I want something that just reinvents the world wholesale.
I'm totally with you. Yeah. Totally with you.
Yep. Cool.
All right. Alrighty. So let's go ahead and keep moving. Brandon, you would be next. What's your topic?
So it's kind of funny. Mine comes from Vedron and is almost nearly the opposite of the one we just did. It's with the Thousand Year Door getting a huge remake treatment, what would be your top two or three games to get a remake treatment of the same caliber? So not a sequel, but a remake. And this is a tough one because, like, before Thousand Year Door, Thousand Year Door probably would have been what I said. but I've been thinking about this game a lot, and it already has a remake, and I don't know if it would be redundant, but the child in me wants it to happen. And that's Ocarina of Time. I love that game. Sure. They could remake it 2-3 more times until I'm dead, and I'd probably buy it every time.
Same.
I like to think you'll live to see a fourth remake and you'll be like, I said 2-3 times and just stiff arm it.
That's when Majora's Mask gets a remake.
There you go.
Ocarina of Time is a great one. I would love to see that game remade. Would you want it remade 1-for-1, or would you want them to expand on it at all? Or
so it's gotten a 1-to-1 remake once on 3DS.
Well, on 3DS,
I'd like to see that version ported forward.
Me too.
But for a next version of Ocarina, that's the reimagining time. That's when you try something new with the game as the baseline.
Yeah.
It would be interesting.
I mean, when you think about it, a remake with like modern visuals wouldn't feel like enough in this day and age. Like the world is too small.
Yeah.
And so it'd be really interesting to see them actually flesh out the world of Ocarina and make it something a bit more lively.
That stuff, the landscapes you see in the artwork, bring that to life.
Yes.
Build that world the way I imagined it as a child.
I keep waiting for that. And I just don't know when it'll... I firmly believe it will happen. It 100% will. But it's just like, when will Nintendo go back to the well on that one? I mean... I got my hopes up with 3D All-Stars. I was like, oh, man, Super Mario 64, they're going to improve it. And no.
That still hurts.
Yeah. The N64 era is long overdue to be kind of mined for remakes. And I hope that we get those, you know, hopefully in this next generation, right, when there's a lull.
I mean, companies like Square and Capcom have definitely gone to that PlayStation well to start doing remakes, and it's done very well.
Absolutely.
Amarag in our live audience chat has such an amazing answer to this, and that is Okamiden. Oh my god, if they actually did like a console remake of Okamiden, that would be so freaking cool. That's a great answer, Amarag. Seriously, my answer for this is obvious, and I might be stealing yours, Steve. It's the easiest answer ever. Chrono Trigger.
Yep.
Obviously. Saw that coming. Of course. What else? Chrono Trigger, or you know what? I'll throw another one in there. Mega Man Legends. Remake. Nice. Mega Man Legends from the ground up, man. Like not a remaster, a remake with modern tech, but keep that Saturday morning anime vibe, obviously. You still have to have exactly the same art style, but just 2024 tech.
So
that'd be cool.
I find it humorous. Vedran said 2 to 3, so I popped 2 to 3 into my head immediately, and Brandon said 1, and then you said another. My original list was PSO, just the original PSO. Give me a remake on a modern platform. Give me Ocarina of Time and give me Chrono Trigger. I'm going to add to that just one more since I dropped out of 2. I want the original Jet Set Radio remade, because we saw how Wind Waker looked when Grezzo got a hold of it. Just give me the same for Jet Set Radio, man. That was such a cool game. I really desperately want that. And bring back the ability to like share graffiti online and upload, you know, download graffiti other people made into your game. I'd be there for it. I remember being a dork in like 01 playing Jet Set Radio, and I would download like screenshots from the Nintendo Space World trailer for the GameCube and then graffiti those on my Dreamcast. And I was like, oh, I'm so edgy. Look at me, Nintendo stuff. Those would be my picks. Give me some old Dreamcast stuff. Remake those. Give them modern visuals.
Sonic Adventure, baby. The original. That would be pretty cool.
I have another weird one, but this is a game I really liked as a kid. Star Fox Assault. I love that game.
I love Star Fox Assault.
I like Star Fox Assault, yeah.
I think that could be improved upon nowadays.
Yeah, especially in the multiplayer department. Like, I spent hours with my friends just goofing off in multiplayer because there was tons of options, like way more than the game ever needed. Expand that to an online mode and I'm set.
Oh, there was nothing as satisfying as running around and then hopping in an R-Wing and just taking off and shooting at stuff. Like, I was like, this is exactly what Star Fox needs to be. And Nintendo was like, eh. We'll go back to the old formula. It'll be fine.
Yeah,
we'll
time for Command.
Yeah.
At least Command is a good game.
for me, I have to go with my top two are always Xenogears and Parasite Eve.
Yeah.
Xenogears in the style of the Star Ocean 2. Remaster. Would love to see that.
But finish the ending. Give it a proper
ending. But actually finish the ending. Actually have all the content. Yeah. That's part of the reason I wanted, because they could actually flesh it out the way they were meant to. And that would be amazing. But then Parasite Eve in that Resident Evil 2, 3, 4 remake style. And that'd be really cool.
I want that so much, Derek. Like, I can see it in my mind, like exactly how it would play and like look from, you know, over the shoulder perspective of Aya. Like, I can just
keep the RPG elements, keep the stats and the cones and all that, but just change perspective and it would be
definitely
really interesting and fun. I would love to see that. And they can even go nuts on the costumes too, because it's Aya. Of course, you're going to want to dress her up. That's just
Just do it in a different way they did it in the third birthday.
Right. We don't need it. We don't need it falling apart. We just need, you know, the fun costumes from Resident Evil. Yeah. Though Steve did remind me of another one that I think would deserves a second chance to get a modern audience thanks to HD 2D. And honestly, Phantasy Star 4.
Ooh, yeah.
Oh, good one.
Like UNPSO, I'm much more interested in Phantasy Star 4. I think that could do extremely well, especially if they keep that anime aesthetic and with the portraits and whatnot and the cutscenes. I think there's ways they could really modernize the storytelling elements and then upgrade those graphics and really make them pop for people. I think Phantasy Star 4 would be great.
Yeah, 100%. That is a great idea. Man, now I want that. All right. Ash, what is your topic this week?
My topic this week actually does not have to do with video games, believe it or not. This one comes from Wataniac, and it's a straightforward, straight to the point question. Thoughts on water parks and swimming.
Ooh.
I love swimming. I love water parks. What more is there to say? I love water. I love going to the beach. I love swimming pools. I love jacuzzis. I haven't been to a water park in a long time, but just the thought of going to one gets me excited. I almost said I love being wet, and then I said it anyway. I love swimming. I love swimming, and I love water, and I should go to a water park soon. But I swim as much as I can.
So I love water parks, or I love swimming. I dislike water parks. Like, I don't know, man. Yeah. And maybe it's the difference, the parent in me. Understanding what kind of water-related mishaps children have.
Totally fair.
I just look at that and I'm like, that's a bathtub full of pee, man.
There's one specific, you know what? I see what you mean. I could give or take maybe most of a water park, but the one thing I really do love, and yes, those things happen in there too, but I still love them, wave pools. Wave pools are so fun, man.
No, my God. My worst experience was in a wave pool. I kid you not.
I was
maybe 16, 17 years old. My girlfriend at the time, she's like, let's go to a wave pool. And if you've never been a 16 or 17 year old boy, let me tell you, no matter what your misgivings are, if a girl invites you to a thing and you're into girls, you just do it. And so I was like,
yes,
this place is full of pee. I'm going anyway. And so we're in the wave pool. Dude, you're not ready for this.
I swear to God.
You know what? All right, I'm going to be profane for a minute because I can't not be. I'm not fucking with you at all. I got hit in the chest with a piece of shit. Like we're in the wave pool and just some little kid's doo-doo just like right on my chest. I was done. No amount of teenage hormones could keep me in that wave pool.
I can't say I blame you. What did you tell her?
I was 17. Did she witness it? I'm like, ah! I was like, I got hit with doo-doo. Like, I need to get out of here. And so I got the hell out of there. And, of course, then proceeded to use undoubtedly filthy water to, like, you know, scrub my
dignity. You should have. You could have worked that into your favor, dude. Just like, you didn't see that? It was coming right towards you. I got in front of it so it didn't hit you.
Right.
Be a hero.
Oh, that's so gross.
I saved you. I took a bullet for you. But, yeah, I legit. Legit have not been back to a water park since.
I mean, I can't say I blame you after that. That's pretty traumatic.
Yeah.
What's
yeah.
more chivalrous though? Like taking a bullet or taking a piece of shit?
Well, I know which one is more chivalrous. I can say that much.
Oh God.
I'm so glad I picked this topic. I didn't expect it to go in this direction. This is great.
No.
I didn't expect to go in that direction either.
Yeah.
I like water parks, but I've never really gone to them a whole lot. Just on occasion here and there, and they've always been fine. I like going down the slides. The slides are always the best part of the water parks to me. That and the lazy river to some degree, just to chill. Those are always fun. But honestly, most of my water park experiences when my family used to go to Disney World. So it's been a long time since I've been to any kind of water park. But the Disney ones were fun. They're always a good time. But yeah, it's not like I like pools and whatnot, but I like private pools. You don't like water parks, Steve? Never go to a public pool. God.
Oh, my kid learned to swim in a public pool, and I was like, I can feel her immune system getting stronger. There's no way I would have gotten in there. They're like, Dad, do you want to help her kick? I'm like, no. You can help her. I'm not even putting my hand in that water.
I like water parks, but I think I'm more excited at this point now as Ella is growing up to just get to share those experiences with her, just see how she reacts to a water park. We brought her to the Wisconsin Dells like a month ago, but she was 7 months old. So there's only so much joy she's going to get out of it. But I'm excited to see that change over time.
At that age, all that stuff is for you. For you and your partner, right? To watch your kid. You're like, oh man, I took Avery to Disney World because I had to go for work. It's not like I was, you know, I'm not like, oh, let's fly to Florida. But I took her to Disney World because I was there for a work trip. And I have all these pictures of me just holding this tired baby in front of all this Disney World stuff. I'm like, look at Epcot. And she's like, I just passed out. I'm like, you saw it. That's what matters.
It's in some sort of memory for you.
Yeah, I'm like yeah. I can. It's really just me having collateral at this point, right? Like when she complains that I don't do anything cool with her, I'll be like, "Look at this."
I don't remember that, Dad.
Yeah, that's your fault. That's on you. But I think that water parks give me the heebie-jeebies. I don't like it.
You know, I like I said, I can't blame you. Swimming's still cool though.
Swimming is great. I'll swim in at least reasonably controlled bodies of water.
Yeah.
There you go.
So no beach.
Big enough ones. Yeah.
Well, thank you for that, Wataniac. That went in an unexpected direction, and it's all thanks to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So that leaves just me. My topic this week comes from A Drink to the Past, which is objectively one of the best names of all
time.
Who writes, finally got around to watching the Tetris movie and thought that much like Gran Turismo, it's not a super incredible movie, but it was a fun watch and gives a good overview of a cool moment in gaming history. With this in mind, I started thinking of other iconic gaming moments that might make cool historical dramas, like maybe the court case in the early 80s where Nintendo got sued because Donkey Kong was similar to King Kong. What are some historic gaming moments you'd like to see in movie form? And if you're talking about like real world gaming moments, I would love to see Blake Harris's novel Console Wars get turned into a film. Like, because it's all
that was happening.
Is it happening?
Is it? I hadn't heard about that.
I could have sworn that was a thing that was happening.
Is that actually like being turned into like a documentary?
I had not heard about that.
Okay, there is already a documentary called Console Wars.
Yeah, but it's like a six-part.
Console Wars was made in 2020, and it's directed by Blake Harris, who wrote the book.
Well, there you go.
My wish has been granted. I guess I know what I'm doing this week, and I'm watching this film. But yeah, for those of you that don't know, Console Wars is literally the inside story of the two-company war between Nintendo and Sega. And there are some really interesting revelations in there about how there was a lot of infighting between Sega of America and Sega of Japan, and how literally Sega could have had the hardware that became the N64, but because it was the American branch that suggested it, Sega of Japan was just like, nah, we don't want it.
Right.
And we got the N64 basically because Tom Kalinske, who was the president of Sega at the time, I believe, just kind of sent those guys Nintendo's way. They were like, oh, well, we're really sorry about how Japan treated you, so why don't you go talk to Nintendo? They'll probably be more receptive. And they were.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's a wild story. And I didn't know there was a six-part documentary I watched a while back about the history of gaming and various consoles, but I can't remember what it was called. But I didn't know there was a film version of Console Wars. So I got to watch this too.
Yeah.
There's apparently a TV adaptation led by Seth Rogen as well.
Oh, wow. Huh.
Is the same thing.
Yeah, Alpha Line, I'm talking about High Score. That's what it was called. It was really good, too.
Really, the anime?
No, High Score Girl is the anime, which is also fantastic. But there's a documentary called High Score.
I still need to watch that. I've not seen it.
Oh, dude, watch High Score Girl. It is phenomenal.
10 out of 10.
Steve, you in particular, because of your love of fighting games, you need to watch this anime.
That was made for you.
Yeah, it really was.
High Score Girl? Oh, yeah. I've seen all of it.
I love High Score Girl. Yeah.
I love that she's consistently what do you want to call it? I'm just going to say given gas by like guile.
Oh, I know. Oh, the guile turtling.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of fighting games, and originally I was going to answer as many patron topics as I could during my stream last week to replace GVG Cast, but you know, it's a Mario Kart tournament. People ask you to do crazy voices. You know how it goes. So I didn't really get to them, but one of the ones I did actually answer was this one. And I'll repeat the answer I said last week, Evo Moment 37. I want like a drama movie building up the rivalry between Daigo and Justin Wong culminating in Evo Moment number 37. Just
you'd have to really make like you make Justin Wong the villain.
Of course he's not a villain indeed, but
no, Justin's amazing, but
that's what King and Kong kind of did, even though in this case Billy Mitchell really is a villain. But yeah, just dramatize it, like dramatize the hell out of their rivalry leading up to Evo Moment 37.
As a fellow fighting game player, I hope that never happens, just because I couldn't imagine someone being like, hey, remember that time you very publicly lost?
I know.
We're
going to
drag that out.
He's reminded of it constantly.
Exactly. It just happened to him again recently, didn't it?
It might have. I'm not sure.
I think it literally happened to him on stream recently or at a tournament or something, but a similar thing happened to him.
Yeah.
Yeah, Justin would be a good guess. I've had the opportunity to talk to Justin a handful of times. My most famous E3 picture is me walking up to play Dragon Ball FighterZ and realizing the other guy was Justin. Like,
oh, no.
I turned to my friend and I'm like, there's just this already, like, I'm already defeated. You can see it in my face. And he took a picture of me. I turned back and I think I threw out maybe one punch and then Justin just destroyed me with a combo that like went through all of my characters. And I was like, good game.
that was it. Man.
That's awesome.
Oh. I think either a documentary or even a biopic about the life of Satoru Iwata could be pretty good.
Oh, yeah, I was thinking really something awesome along those lines. I think that'd be pretty interesting. Yeah. I was trying to think of other developers because I felt like Awada. So, like, Awada is like cool to just see him really step up and have more of a drama. I'm like trying to think of like one that has like one of those rock and roll type careers. Like, who do you choose for that as far as
Harada? Their career?
Yes, oh, probably God. Harada. Yeah. Harada.
Yoshi P.
I mean, you want to talk legit. I forget the channel that did it, but there was a wonderful Final Fantasy 14 documentary talking about the going into how the death and rebirth of this system and what had to be done in order to make it work. You know, Life and Times of Yuji Horii would be pretty interesting. I don't know if he's had a crazy career, like a life path or anything like that, but I think it'd still be pretty interesting to just get, you know, the Dragon Quest guy. Why not?
I'm a huge hardware nerd, and I want to call this one out because I don't think many people know who this is. But I would love a documentary about Gerald Lawson, who was the creator of the video game cartridge. He worked on the Fairchild Channel F, which I've never even seen in person before. I've seen one Fairchild cart, but I think it would be interesting because I think a lot of people incorrectly assume like Atari, you know, made video game cartridges and stuff like that, and that was a piece of history that I didn't know until some other YouTuber covered it. But he recently, in the past couple years, passed away. And I'm like, that would be a cool thing to have. Like, I do feel there's lots of bits of gaming history that people don't know about. And it'd be nice to see an actual budget. I mean, because, you know, us being YouTubers, we all know how much money goes into these. It'd be nice to see somebody with deep pockets make, like, a proper history of things like that we all take for granted in video games, like who invented the storage mediums we use, who invented, you know, the very concept of a game console, and kind of correcting a lot of the misconceptions that are out there. But that would be rad. But you know what's even more rad? This episode's over. This is the end of episode 101.
One thing though, actually two quick things before we go to the outro. First of all, just a couple of quick patron birthday shout outs. Happy birthday to Trite Hexagon, who celebrated their birthday today. So happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
And also happy birthday to belated birthday to Jess, who celebrated hers on Wednesday, May 1st. So happy birthday to both of you. And the one other thing I have to do, I have to share this. So little behind the scenes info, our good friend and community member, Becca, is playing through the original Final Fantasy VII for the first time. And she's been sharing her experiences with me as she plays through. So I can kind of, you know, experience it for the first time again through someone else's eyes. And there's so many things I can't wait for her to see. And she just DM'd me this image. And it's one of the funniest things I think I've ever seen just because of the juxtaposition here, but I'm posting it in live audience chat right now, and it made me crack up. Come on, upload speed. Come on. Do it.
Posting it.
Come on. There it is. So if you know, you know the part she's at.
Oh yeah.
And yet she's watching GVG cast with that in the background. Oh my
god.
And it cracked me up. It's so good.
Oh my god.
Nothing says good vibes like Nibelheim.
Yep, Nibelheim, always good vibes.
Right? But nice. I've been very much enjoying, you know, seeing her react to all these things in the original FF7 for the first time. Because, as you know, if you've played it, it's quite the ride.
Yeah, that it is.
Anyway, that's all I got. Birthday shout-outs, and I had to share that.
Happy birthdays. good luck with the ensuing emotional trauma, Becca. but yeah, that brings us to the end. I'm looking for my button here. That brings us to the end of episode 101 of the GVG cast. Thank you guys so much for hanging out with us and spending a chunk of your Friday night. If you're a patron, you know where to go on YouTube for the patron-exclusive post-show that'll be kicking off shortly after this. But before we talk about all that, we have to give an extra special thank you to our patrons at the producer tier and above. Some of you know who you are. Some of you may be confused about who you are. But if you see your name on screen, you're one of them. That's you. That's you going right by Caitlin or Chris or... Did that say Goomba Daddy? But anyway, I have to give an extra special thank you to our patrons at the executive producer tier and above. And those, as Ash would say, fine, awesome, wonderful, amazing folks include Brandon Bovia, Cutie Caitlin, Fangs, Z Patty, Sky Blue Flames, Eastman23, Adam O'Sullivan, Richard Herrera, Logan Daniel, The D-Pad, Blake, Joy Content, Angel Martinez, Vedran, Joshua Hunter, Benny Yao, Azran127, Black King, Joseph Rutkin, Geeky Griffin, Lucky Wonderfish, Wataniak, Top Dog 23100, Young Ben Kenobi, Andrew Medeiros, Darchi, Ikaro, Essex 08, Michael McCaw, Matthew Wong, Goron Amber, CPHT, Too Much Spaghetti, Bane 400, Ascaron 809, Reowner, Benji Bear Pup, The Game Orb, Super Gamer Dude 101, Ravelox, My Mom, Hi Mom, Dark Steel 01, Jason Uloa, Jaden Buck, Cystic Warrior 29, Super Dank Awesome Unicorn Guy, or Derek. Oh, that is Derek. I'm just off one line. Derek, Colin, Blizzard 25, Twilord, Mumbling Yeti, Cameron Sharp, Keel, Hustlebun, Noah Fitterer, Calvin Atkinson, Brainchild, Jim Wakelin, Z Laker, Andy Mine P, Aramis Baramis, Kyle the Monarch, Lord Metarex, Blaze Collard, Eric, Cat Eevee Person 5, Peyton Thiel, Mega Beatman True Blue Reviews, Ryan Hanley, Somnia, The Game Jamie, Zombie Joe, and last but not least, Marathon Max. Woo!
Right?
That wraps us up. Thank you guys all so much for watching. We'll be back next Friday at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern with episode 102 of the GVG cast. That's going to do it for us tonight. If you want to catch us on YouTube for our Patreon exclusive post show, you know where to go. Check the Discord for details. And we'll see you all next time. Until then, good night and good vibes. Bye, everyone.
See you next time. Bye-bye.